Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. A daily football fix is coming up at 4 o'clock. It's time right here for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com here at the King.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that every day. Thank you to Greystone for being a part of this as well. Eric and I recorded A Love of the Star this morning. It's up. Encourage you to give it a listen after you're done with our show today. We'd appreciate that. Went through a lot of names, didn't we, Eric?
We did. Yeah, some hidden gems.
Felt like we covered some ground there of some guys, some possibilities. I talked to some guys around the league about some of these coaches and stuff like that, so check that thing out, if you would. That would be Love of the Star, anywhere you get your Odyssey podcast, for sure. Odyssey. Okay. Yeah, I went on a little rant. I'm tired of this football team.
Don't blame you. I appreciate it. Felt good.
I'm going to keep trying to find some players for it, though. That I will do. I will not quit on that.
Thank you,
this morning was my last morning ever working for DallasCowboys.com.
Ever?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I run since something like I worked for the team, you know, from what was it? How long was I at that team? 1999 to 2005 in scouting, and then Derek Eagleton brought me back 2011. There's 8 years after that, and then came over here and started working. I think I did the math right on that, but yeah, it was. I really do appreciate all those folks over there: Derek Eagleton, Nick Eatman, all those guys, Mickey Spagnuolo. I'll say nice things about Mickey. Mickey and I went after it a lot, but I appreciate everybody over there. The reason I'm in the position I am now because of working for DallasCowboys.com, and then the platform to be on that was incredible. It really, really was. And Sean Payton was right. You know, they know your name in China when you work for the Dallas Cowboys. So thank you again for everybody over for that.
I remember when you left ESPN, I said, we need a guy like Broadus. I remember talking to Bruce Gilbert about it. I was like, man, this is great.
Oh, really?
Great content when you're available.
I appreciate that.
And when the dot-com thing was, you know, transitioning there in 2020, I was like, we need Brian.
You know? Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Been awesome to have you.
I really have really, really enjoyed this. And what we're doing, you know, with Crown Global Media, too, has been a lot of fun as well. Today, though, on the last show, Derek Eagleton put some questions. Derek's probably listening right now because he always does. But Derek asked some questions of us, and I want to ask you guys these questions too, because I think it's some interesting topics, and it's, you know, we're kind of in that. I went on that little rant about talking about needing to do things different and stuff. But when you go back and you blame, Derek was asking, like, could you put a percentage on the blame of the front office, the Matt Eberflus, and the players? Yeah. If you could divide that up of how and why. And I know my thought about it. I'm just curious about, Eric, what your thought is. If you could put a percentage on, you know, the blame of why this didn't work, you know, and like I say, there's the front offices involved, the Eberflus is involved, and the players are involved.
Yeah.
Those are the categories that you can work with.
Yeah. And it's tough because the front office and the players are all sort of intertwined there. And so, I mean, ultimately the front office, all the decision makers when it comes to hiring Eberflus and picking the roster here. I mean, that has to be the biggest chunk.
I agree with you. I totally, and I put a percentage on it at 50%.
I think that's very fair.
I was going to even say 60.
You could put 60, and you know what? I think the fact, and please, I'll allow you to finish, but I totally agree with you because they hired Matt Eberflus. The front office hired Matt Eberflus. They're the ones that said, well, you know, we know him. We've known him for decades. We think he could coach, you know. And then, but also they'll blame them for the players not being any good. Zach likes to tell you, and he's absolutely right, look at the drafting on the defensive side of the ball. Look at that. That's why this defensive roster is not as good as it needs to be. And maybe Matt Eberflus can't coach that. I think there's some blame there. I think the front office has 50% of this blame for sure.
Yeah.
And then I went Matt Eberflus on 30 and the players on 20 is what I went.
Okay. Yeah, I was
that's how
go
I looked at. Yeah.
60, 30, 10. 60 to the front office, 30 to Eberflus, because he had a hand in some of these players too. Like
yeah.
He wanted Elam. He wanted sure. Kenneth Murray. He wanted Sanborn. And then 10% on the players because, I mean, they got to take some ownership of this. But
sure.
They were selected by the front office and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I would divide it up.
And I think all of them except for Trayvon Diggs were doing their best. You know, like I'll put the blame on you if you're not doing what you're capable of doing because your attitude isn't right. You know,
right,
but I generally feel like the Cowboys players gave good effort. You know, they were just ill prepared to do what the coaching staff wanted. I would probably go 70% front office because not only are they responsible for the players, but they go through this Eberflus interview and select him
yeah.
and just have it be a horrible fit. I think they need to own quite a bit of that blame as well.
I think you're on to something. The 70%, 60%. I'm probably too low on mine. How about you, Wooly?
I'm with you. I think 70% on the front office because it's just a consistent issue.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Ed Werder brought it up during the presser today. I mean, in yesterday we went through the numbers. Since 2020, three of the last 6 years have been some of the worst defensive seasons in the history of the organization. And those are three different defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
So these are and Zim's a guy that you at least saw improvement throughout the yeah. season.
Oh no, Zim admitted he effed this thing up too.
But you didn't at yeah. all with yeah. Flus and with Mike Nolan. So I think 70% on the front office because they're the ones that are still hiring the coaches. They're the ones that are still putting this together in terms of the players, and they have been refusing to change the way in which they operate. And then I'd probably go 20% on Flus because he was stubborn as hell and didn't want to change.
That's what I'm saying. I threw the 30% on Flus because yeah. his inflexibility.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, like, you know, you go into a job and you're like, okay, man, I'm not going to have Micah Parsons. I'm going to have to do some things differently here. You know, all season long, just the stubbornness not to even try and do something a little different. And at the end, I'll blame at the end the front office. I think it's inexcusable for Jerry or Steven or anybody in that front office to tell me that when asked why Logan Wilson didn't play, it's like, well, that was the plan. Well, how about you go in there and tell the head coach or the defensive coordinator, you don't play Logan Wilson, you're fired. Well, I'll make a change right now. But to inexcusably have to maybe explain, well, that was kind of the plan going in. Somebody should have right then and there. If that was the general manager should know exactly. He should be able to tell the coaches, play these guys. And if you don't play them, I'm going to fire you. But the fact that you know that Jerry has to stand up there and Steve and everybody, so well, it was a thought that you allowed Matt Eberflus to go ahead and do that at the end of the year. When you told him, and I think that maybe the message wasn't told to him strong enough. Was it just implied? Oh, we'd like to see Logan Wilson this week. I blame the general manager for that one.
It's
I do.
Totally fair.
You as a general manager, you have got to walk in there and tell that guy, I'm tired of seeing Kenneth Murray play. Let's play Logan Wilson.
Especially when you're the owner and general manager.
Yeah.
Like, you have all the autonomy
that's what I'm
you
saying.
Could ever have.
Any general manager can walk in there and tell the head coach what to do. He can. He could walk in there and say, hey, I'd like for you to play this guy this week, and let's see what we got, you know? And I can't believe that the message didn't get through to somebody, you know? But the general manager needs to be responsible for that, too. Like, he can stand there and say, well, that was kind of our plan. Oh, no, sir. If it was your plan, it should have been executed, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be your plan, it better be flawless, you know. And we don't know to what extent Eberflus was messing up. Like to hear Dante Fowler the other day in his exit interview, like his line, I don't care how good you think your scheme is, you got to evolve around your players, take yeah. your players' opinions on some things. I can't wait until more information because I think there's going to be even more stuff about how stubborn that he was. If we're going to lose and you're going to give me bad players, then I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
I think is what you found out. And maybe the pride and ego of a guy that had been a head coach could not be subverted enough to take suggestion.
Well, see, that's that's the thing about it is, if he would have fired him with two games left, and everybody said, well, why did you fire him now? I asked him to do something specifically, and he didn't do it. We're not going to have that around here.
Yeah, because we had to find out more about Logan Wilson. We got a one-game sample size.
That's all.
We needed a month.
That's all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he could play or not. I really don't.
I've seen a big cap.
I don't know. So to me, again, I like what you guys all said. I think the front office needs to take a lot of blame for the Matt Eberflus hire and for him to do what he did during the year, you know, and maybe Shoddy. I mean, how much did Shoddy needed to go in there and be a little bit more firmer with what the expectations were needing to be going forward? Obviously, that didn't happen either.
Yeah, difficult conversations is something that Shoddy prides himself on being able to have and make them productive. And I would say he failed in that regard when it came to his DC.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.